A minute to six, we're going to start recording the meeting. How we're going to work this is I'm going to go through the county required information, give you all that information, and then we'll open it up to questions at the end. Are you on? Okay.
Quick understanding, who's who on your side?
Oh, yeah, we'll introduce ourselves. Let me first tell you, the meeting is for 1305 Furnace Road, and it is for the site development plan. We had a meeting, gosh, I think it was a year ago, for the preliminary plan. So it's very similar to what you saw if you were here at the last meeting. My name is Marilee Tortorelli. I'm with Morris Ritchie and Associates.
Jeff Wall, civil engineer, Morris Ritchie.
And I'm Ryan Fowler with the developer, Boundary 1305 Furnace.
This meeting, as I said, is for 1305 Furnace Road. In accordance with Anne Arundel County 17-107, we are required to have a meeting within 45 days after submitting a site development plan. So this fulfills, you know, some of the requirements that Anne Arundel County has for site development plans. What's up here, and feel free after, you know, we discuss everything, if you want to come up and look at the plans. This is the site development plan set that was submitted to the county. And then what we did, because it's Anne Arundel County requires you to show it at 40 scale, which is a fairly large scale. So the site is like chopped up on various sheets. So what we did was we just created a one sheet so you could see the whole site on one plan. The 1305, as you probably all are aware, is located in the northeast quadrant of 295 and 195, and it's on the east side of Furnace Road. This is Old Elkridge. Furnace Road comes up, and our access is off of Furnace Road, just a little past the BGE right-of-way, which is located right here. We are also located in Anne Arundel County's mapping. We're also located in a priority funding area. This is not a public project. This is a private project. It's not part of a capital improvement project. The owner is Paul Ranganese and his family, and the private property owner is Boundary. I forgot the whole name, but they're the contract purchaser. Existing site, let me just turn to that, because that is one sheet. So the existing property is primarily wooded in the back part. In the front, there's an old house with a field, overgrown field. The BGE runs through the site. And this property has a floodplain that we had done a floodplain study as required by Anne Arundel County. And there is a 100-year floodplain that runs along the northeast and the western side of the property all the way up to not quite to 295, but up to the adjacent property owners. This floodplain has already been reviewed and approved by Anne Arundel County. It's roughly 2 acres of the site that's in floodplain. That also houses an intermittent stream. There's both sides of these are an intermittent stream that comes down to a confluence here that goes under a driveway and to the north. We also have some non-tidal wetlands located in a couple areas. In this location, Waters of the U.S. is what the stream, and there is a 100-foot stream buffer required by Anne Arundel County. So you'll see, if you come up later, you'll see an SB line that follows this intermittent stream, and that's the 100-year stream buffer. And then the wetlands on the plan are shown as an NW with a 25-foot buffer around them. We also have some 25-plus steep slopes, which are sort of a hatched area, and to the top of those slopes is a 25-foot buffer. The other thing that is part of this plan, there's a number of forested areas, and within that there are 40 specimen trees on the site, and those are what you see. They look like a little flower with a circle around them. Those are all the specimen trees. They've all been surveyed. Everything on here has been surveyed, located. The trees have been assessed for their health. Out of all the 40 trees, only seven of them are in good condition. 20 of them are in fair condition, and 13 13 are in poor condition. With this site is 35.6 acres. The net tract after you take out the floodplain is 33.5, and there are 27.5 acres of forest on the site. Our project itself is retaining 14.5 acres of that 27 in forest. This is a non-residential property. We're proposing a warehouse, and it's probably easier to see here. Let me flip through. It is 136,500 square foot warehouse with loading docks on the north side, parking, which is 147 parking spaces required, and 6 handicap spaces. And then we also have a storage lot on the lower south side of the project. All of this is private. There is a private access road that intersects existing furnace, comes down to the east and serves the facility. It wraps around. This is actually a fire lane, so fire can get around the building and out. The entrance is actually a right in, right out only. Nobody will be able to turn, to the north up Furnace Road. Furnace Road is a scenic and historic road, so we are required to maintain the look of the scenic road. We are giving the county right-of-way. Ultimately, Furnace Road is supposed to be a 60-foot right-of-way, so what you'll see up here is a sort of a dash line, and that is right-of-way that we're dedicating to the county. We're not widening the road, but they require that we dedicate the ultimate right-of-way to them. So that pretty much is just taken out of the site. And so you'll see on this plan, there's a gray hatch. That is the proposed forest retention and forest conservation easements. And then the gray hatch with the dots are actually reforestation. So what you'll see is we have reforestation all along the front where the existing house is and the old field and the hedgerow. And we do have to work with the cultural resources on what we plant in there so that it's in keeping with the Furnace Road frontage. We also have some reforestation along this sort of southwest. And obviously BGE right away, we can't put any forested reforestation in there. But then we do have some minor reforestation areas to enlarge some of these forest conservation areas that we are showing. There is the drive aisles are 30 foot, and then around the building we have some 5-foot sidewalks getting people from this parking lot into the building. But like I said, all of this is private. There's no public roads. The only public items will be utilities, and we are extending water and sewer, from this location over here where it's just off the sheet, but where a furnace hits Oak Ridge, there's a sewer main existing there, and we're tying into that sewer. And then there's a water extension from Concourse Drive all the way up to the site and along the frontage. And you'll see there's a water line that goes to the edge of the frontage of the property. This there is a maximum coverage requirement. This is zone W1 and R1. Zoning lines are actually easier to see on this plan. Most of the site is W1. There's a small section of the R1 that is located on the north side in this strip here where we're doing the forest conservation and the reforestation. So the facility that you see is within all the W1 zoning, and they have a maximum coverage requirement of 75%, which is technically 25.3 acres of the site could be buildings and parking, but our coverage is limited to 4.2, which is only 11.8% of the site. The limited disturbance that you see, which is the areas of the development, and if you come up, you'll see an LOD line on here, that is 15.4 acres. We do have a few modifications that we have to, we have a couple that were approved and a couple that are still pending as part of this site development plan review. We have modifications 16674A and 16829, which allowed us to clear, and we're removing 9 of the specimen trees. That was approved by the county in March of 2022, and you'll see an X through the trees of the ones that are being removed. We also have a modification 16675A for steep slopes. We have a slight steep slope impact here, and the reason for this is pretty much the site is limited in access because of the floodplain, so we have to have a floodplain modification to cross the stream, and then also we were trying to save the buffer to the stream as much as possible, so we have very small steep slope impact in this general area here. And then the stream buffers for the crossing, and for also we have an outfall up in this location from our stormwater management facility. The original, if you remember back when we had the sketch plan, our outfall actually was right here, and we weren't disturbing wetlands or streams or anything, but the county is the one that actually asked us to move the outfall. They wanted the outfall for the stormwater management plan to go into this location, and the developer is also doing some minor stream stabilization, and the county preferred that over just outfalling this location into the woods. So because of that, we have a modification for a wetland buffer, which is a really small little buffer here because of our outfall, because we didn't have that originally when we talked to you before. And then we have the floodplain impact for the crossing, and then we have 16830 for the wetland buffer. So those are the modifications. It's six modifications, two were put together. Of those, three are approved, and the other three are pending during the site development plan. Other than that, I think, unless I missed something, if that's the main parts of the development. I'm sorry, there is one other thing I wanted to tell you. As part of the modifications, we actually have to do mitigation. It's required for all the impacts, not just the specimen trees, but the wetlands and the streams and all that. So we are actually mitigating, and I showed you before all the reforestation that we are doing on site. We're doing 2.5 acres of reforestation. I'm sorry, 2.5 acres of reforestation to meet our mitigation requirements for the impacts from, you know, specimen trees and the streams and everything else that we have modifications in. So everything is being done on site. We don't have any off-site mitigation. It's all on site. So at this point, I think I can answer questions. Jeff can answer questions. He's the engineer on the project. Ryan. But if you could speak up, because like I said, this might not do so well in the very back row.
You want to start? Anybody else have questions? We have certain questions on a certain topic.
Okay.
They may grow into others, but if others have other topics they want to discuss, I'd encourage you to start. All right. So we're here primarily for this initial meeting to focus on the downstream impacts at the outfall. So in your site development plan preliminary review from the county dated May 20th, looks like you toured the property, you specifically, on December the 20th of 2021 with the county and Elm Street Development. Can you help me understand who Elm Street Development is as opposed to Boundary?
That's one of our partners, development partners, consultant.
And if you were at the first meeting, Karen McJunkin was there. She represents Elm Street.
Okay. Tell me a little bit about what you encountered during your survey of the property and the outfall, and not only outfall at that location, but you mentioned that there is a cross, it's just a driveway. Well, that drive is very sensitive to a lot of people in this room that you're going under. And we know physically who built that opening underneath the road 30 years ago by hand, not engineered. It's not up to commercial standards. It's not. And you're dumping all of this new stormwater into something that downstream that doesn't look like you've taken into account per your discussion there, anything that's outside of the boundaries of the property. So I'd like to learn a little bit more about what you've done as a study to the point of interest or point of investigation on your civil plans.
Well, as far as part of, you know, just the development process, we have to do, you know, a downstream study. And based on that study, you know, we identify a point downstream where our site would be a certain percentage of the discharged, basically as a mean to kind of create, you know, the limit of how far we have to go do the study.
Yeah.
So we do that study, we walk it with the county. Some of the main points of interest of that walk are based on stability of the channels and things of that nature. And like we said, there were areas that were identified by the county in which we are doing some in-stream work at their request. It seems like what you're more worried about is...
Yeah, on your property.
Yes, and your concern seems to be more in terms of quantity of water in downstream properties.
From your property outfall to the point of investigation.
Yes. So our stormwater pond is providing peak management for the 10-year storm event, and it decreases the flow to that driveway culvert by somewhere in the neighborhood of 15-30%. So the pond's oversized. Basically, more or less what we usually design to is meeting the pre-developed condition before our water leaves our site. So that is what the other portion of our study is, along with just assessing the stream conditions. It's also looking at flood management.
Right.
So the pond design and the overall design for the entire development and almost all of the limit of disturbance for the property all gets directed to the pond. And that was one thing that, you know, we worked hard at. Even as you go towards the access road coming off Furnace, there's a lot of storm drain run.
Right.
You know, some developments you'll have kind of intermediate discharge points around the perimeter that maybe not have the control.
Right.
But we've got all of the impervious area piped to the pond that's been sized to decrease what's coming off of the site. So our design and our study, it definitely takes into account, you know, what's coming off the site, not causing downstream flooding issues. In our case, trying to even decrease the water coming off the site.
Do you want to be on record, there are already downstream flooding issues.
Yeah, that particular cross, you're talking an 18-inch pipe that has two current streams flowing through. All the runoff from that property going through. On average, it will overflow that crossing at least once a year. Mm-hmm. At most, any heavy rain, it is completely filling, you know, and up to the road, but not overflowing. No matter what, you are adding more flow to that pipe.
And that head wall was not built to any type of standards. Yeah, it was built.
Mm-hmm. It was built by the three residents who lived back there at least 30 years ago.
With galvanized pipe you could buy at Home Depot.
Right. But we aren't adding more flow to it. We are reducing the flow.
The pond has a storage volume that, you know, it's releasing the incoming flow at a lower flow rate, you know, say
than a fully pervious site.
Yeah, I mean, you basically
it's
have
not fully pervious. We only have 4.1 acres of impervious on the site.
How much is impervious 30. Now?
It's concrete. There's a little bit up front, but
so it's a pervious site now.
If there was no stormwater pond and everything just went straight in the storm drain system and just straight out, there would be obviously an increase because you're going from woods. But that's what the pond does. The water goes in the pond, and the pond, I think the low flow orifice, I'll speak in general, like that. I can't quite remember for this one, but there might be a 4-inch orifice that lets the water out. So it's only letting out as much water that can get out of a 4-inch pipe in the lower storm vents. And
it
so,
well, they're designed to not.
And that's what the pond volume is for. Is as you know, you correct the water, all that water coming in can't get through that 4-inch. But where it starts backing up is within the pond. Mm-hmm. So that's why the pond level goes from being, you know, dry to now there's a foot, 2 feet, 3 feet, 4 feet. So that storage volume is designed to save, you know, just for example's sake, if you have 100 CFS of water coming in and you want 2 coming out. The only way you can manage that is in the middle. You have to store that water while you slowly let it come out. So that's what the pond is designed to do, is it's taking that 10-year runoff, all the impervious, everything, and we're creating all that storage volume in the pond so that we can slowly discharge that water and then the
pond fills up.
What would be a trigger to make you analyze it to a 100-year storm, which would be what I would be more accustomed to?
I mean, typically that's, you know, what we're held to as far as post-developed discharge is the 10-year event. We manage the 2 and the 10. The 2 being would be closer to your average, 2-year storm would still be quite a storm, but we do pre to post for both the 2 and the 10. And so we don't, there isn't a requirement to do pre to post for the 100.
Okay. I was somewhat understanding if there's known downstream flooding concerns that you should analyze through the 100-year storm. That's, to date, it doesn't seem like that's been completed. So just trying to look for some information on that, and then also if the point of investigation, which wraps around those three properties, what investigation was done from your outfall to the point of investigation, and what were the discoveries from that on your walk December 20th?
That was walked with the county, in which, you know, the county's stream specialist, so to speak,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
Walks it in conjunction with us and our environmental people. And they do the analysis of whether or not the existing stream today is stable or not.
And have the minutes from the December 20th walk?
I don't necessarily think they're really formal. It's not like a formal meeting minutes. It's something that is
How far beyond your property did they investigate? Or did they investigate to those pipes, which is
the core? It's beyond the pipes. The exact limits, I am not exactly sure, but it went to our requirement per the county code.
Well, you were part of that. I hate to put you in this hot seat, right? You were part of that walk, according mm-hmm. to your approval letter. So you would have walked it from your outfall to the point of investigation.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be happy to take that walk with you and show you all the erosion that's occurring. And there's nobody in their right mind that could say that that's not a flooding concern.
Well, erosion and flooding are totally different things.
Hmm?
Erosion and flooding are totally different things. And
erosion concern, right? Do you have pictures?
But they are doing stream stabilization because of the walk.
My question. What are you doing? I guess I started with that way. What are you doing off property as mitigating?
Well, on property, we're mitigating by decreasing our flow.
What are you doing off property?
We're not doing anything off property.
Okay, I thought you just said that you're doing...
We're doing stream stabilization on our property.
It's
that's
right.
The location right here.
Off property, though, do you have some pictures? I haven't seen. We can show you what's happening between your point of outfall and the point of investigation. It's a significant concern that doesn't seem to be taken into account. And if you talk to the property owner, no one's been on the property to investigate it.
That's looking down, that's where the plates are at.
And so that's, I want confirmation that it has been walked.
It has been walked with Eric Mickelson from DPW, who's in charge of all the stream restoration for the county.
And you walked it with, did you talk to the homeowner to get access to the property?
No, we just walked through the stream bed, essentially, from the outfall.
So if you walk through the stream bed, you basically crossed these two different properties that you did not, you're saying you did not have permission to do.
Yeah,
we don't know. We met the county out there. They might have contacted them. I'm not sure.
They did not.
Okay.
At least one homeowner, they did not, because that's my mother.
Okay.
She was never contacted by anyone investigating anything along that stream bed. And the majority of that stream bed is actually on her property.
Yeah.
Do you have some?
Okay, so we don't have anything printed?
No, I tried to print, my printer wasn't working.
Got it, okay. Well, move. Do you want to?
Did I understand you say that you only expected an increase in flow of 15 to 30% increase?
Decrease.
We're
decreasing what's coming off the site today with the pond.
Yeah, I'm not sure you'll be able to tell much from this, but we can send some other photos, but I mean, she has lost, what would you say, Mark, in the last 20 years, at least 20 to 30 feet off of her property has flowed into that, in that erosion that's down. All the trees have eroded and tipped over. It's, and now we're adding more.
But we're not adding more. That's what we're trying
to
tell you.
Well, you're not taking
away any.
Well, you're taking away the vegetation, which soaks up a lot of stuff, so it's going to be concrete.
But it's going to the pond. The pond is managing the water that's going
off the site. But not everything's going to the pond when it rains.
It is from the impervious.
Almost the entire limited disturbance and all of the impervious on the site go to the pond first.
Well, any place you have your driveway or your parking lots or whatever, you're going to put asphalt down, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Well, that does not absorb any water, so you're going to get a lot of, I don't know how many square feet of runoff you're going to get from that asphalt.
Right, and that is part of our stormwater management design, is we manage the runoff from those impervious parking lots and sidewalks and the roof from the buildings. And so we do manage that in the stormwater management facility, and we get the water there through a storm drain system. So we collect it and take it to the ponds, the pond.
Yeah.
So we don't let it just, you know, run off the site.
Yeah. But I mean, to Jeff and Ryan, you having walked it, you're the developer, so I'm assuming you've walked it. You're familiar with this driveway and the crossing underneath of it, of which discharges water. I've personally been down there and seen it. Did it concern you?
It wasn't raised by the county when we were out there, so.
Did it concern you as the developer?
The time I was out there, it did not.
Okay. Would you like to meet out there tomorrow during the rain to take a look at it?
I can't, unfortunately, meet out there, but I'd be happy to meet you out there sometime next week.
I don't know what the process is. We'll follow up with the county, but it seems like this is going at a relatively fast pace with no communication to the homeowner, of which you are discharging water and to her driveway that floods on a regular basis. There's been no outreach. All that water is flowing in an open swale across her property that has been a steady erosion issue for decades.
We understand what you're saying. Just so you know, though, because we're decreasing the runoff, we are not required to do, you know, to get authorization from the property.
So you're going to do bare minimum.
What's that?
You're going to do bare minimum.
No, we're reducing the runoff from the site. So we don't, you know, need to involve
the reducing the
flows into the stream.
The flow. You're increasing the quantity, right? Because nothing will infiltrate, but you're managing the flow.
Which decreases the runoff to the stream and off the site.
Through time.
All that water will still eventually have to go through that stream, which will increase the erosion.
Not necessarily. It doesn't work necessarily that way, because we're slowing the runoff. You know, a lot of that is probably coming from other parts of the, not the site, it could be coming from other parts of the.
Why is the point of investigation not your point of outfall?
Well, your outfall is on your property.
Right.
The point of investigation is off your property, and like Jeff said, it's based on a certain area of drainage.
It's essentially where your property's runoff would equate to roughly 10% of the total flow at a point.
Okay.
So at the point of investigation, it would say at that point, your property would roughly be 10% of what would discharge. And it's basically something that's been determined by the county as a limiting factor. I mean, just in the sense of, who's to say, well, you need to go 10 miles down your site, 20 miles down your site.
Right.
You need to go into the next state. They have to come up with some kind of a formula to say, well, this is how far you have to go. And so.
Which I don't know who knows the black box, how they, you'll probably do, right? But there's a reason that they anticipate you're going to impact between your outfall and that point of investigation. or they wouldn't have you investigate it.
But it's not because they're anticipating there's going to be an impact. They want, the part of that study is to see the, you know, the stability of the channel.
So you're decreasing the existing flow right now, or no?
Yes.
No. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But the large amount of that water that would have soaked down into the ground will now be running into your pond, which will eventually be running into his stream, which will erode his driveway.
Oh. But it'll be discharging at a much slower rate out of the pond.
You know, water that drips causes, over time, causes the same problem. So that doesn't.
But we're overall decreasing the amount of water that's coming off of the site.
No, because a lot of that water would have soaked in the ground and not have run down.
Yeah, you can't decrease the amount of water that would come off of the pervious. You may be able to decrease the discharge time, and you can't.
There's a lot of things besides pond. We also have ESD facilities, and part of the reason for ESD facilities is exactly what you're talking about. We send runoff into those facilities and it goes into the ground. So that's not going to the pond, it's going into the ground. The pond is also not impervious, so it, you know, is sitting in there and some of that will go into the ground. So I mean, we can't tell you exactly how much that is.
You have are the ESDs just for the auto parking?
No, they're for the whole site. We have them there all over the place. If you look, when you come up, you'll see them.
Okay. Yeah, they're all microbioretention facilities, which, you know, the planting media, stone, or like 6 feet of depth to get the water to infiltrate through those layers.
Yeah, they're fun.
Where on that map is that pond you're talking about?
The stormwater pond?
Yes.
It's this location right here.
You see where it is, Mark?
And, you know, obviously we put the ponds at the low end of the site, so that happens to be the low end of the site on the north.
Is that supposed to be a dry pond? Or is there going to be water in it all the time?
No, there won't be water in it all the time. What is it, 24 hours or 48? It has to drain.
I think it's 24.
So just so everybody get the, so if you have a 2-inch rain event, right, that pond will fill up and drain over a 24-hour period. But it's going to collect 2 inches off of all that impervious area, the roof, the parking.
And come out your stream.
And come out, and it'll continue to flood the culvert that was hand-built 30 years ago.
You can understand why we're not so trusting, because down below us, just over the Howard County line, they built a development that was supposed to also take care of all this mess, and now we have increased flooding down at the intersection that, you know, that used to flood once or twice a year, and now it's, so it's hard for us to believe that when you put down more concrete, suddenly we're going to get less flooding.
Right. It's not an open channel all the way through to the point of investigation, and it maybe feels like it's being analyzed as if it's an open channel, and not taking into account the volume that can actually pass through that opening.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, it's something that I don't know if you want to discuss more offline.
Yeah, why don't we get together and we can look at it.
Or out there.
Yeah.
Like I said, the design is done to meet the requirements of the county, which is to not send more water off of the property.
Yeah.
If there's an existing flooding issue today, you know, obviously it's most likely the result of developed properties upstream of us that are going through what we're now characterizing as a floodplain. So in terms of,
Actually less flow going there down there from years ago. So some of the development has actually diverted water from the channel.
From the channel.
Mm-hmm. But like I say, there's still multiple, you know, still a large volume of water comes down there. And like I say, until one choke point. And which to me is kind of somewhat hilarious is the fact that where your access road is coming through, you're putting a 14-foot by 9-foot box culvert that I can drive a truck through, and all this water is diverting down into a 18-inch pipe. And you feel that you have no responsibility to do anything with that crossing, even though it's partially on your property.
We have met the requirements that we have to meet.
I understand you've met the requirements, but to be a good neighbor, you would think someone would step up and say, look, this is going to be a major issue down the road that we need to deal with now, or you're going to deal with a lawsuit down the road.
That's right.
It's, you know, it's easier to say, hey, look, we're going to impact this whole community, not just talking to three houses down there. That development is going to impact that whole street. To be good neighbors, you think you step up and do a couple things to help out before things become major issues.
Well, that's something that can certainly be discussed.
I mean, I understand you're not responsible for the stream restoration, and I'm not putting that on you whatsoever.
They are doing the stream restoration.
On your property. I'm talking downstream. Oh. You know, that's county, state issue. And then once you get down a little bit further, it actually becomes state parkland. You know, all I hear is basically is that culvert. You know, that's my major issue.
Well, as far as the culvert, that's something that can be discussed offline with the developer as far as...
I'll get your contact info and we'll set up a time to come out.
Well, and also, if you have to mitigate on-site, it's the same amount of water that's flowing. Why wouldn't you be doing those same mitigation measures further down? I don't know where they decide you start and stop, whether it's your property line or...
What do you mean by mitigate on-site?
Well, would it, so you, what are you from? What mitigation are you doing to the stream for erosion?
It's they're doing a stream stabilization. We aren't the designers. You might know better what is happening, but they're doing this entire area as a stream stabilization.
And that's only because that's where your overflow is. So
no.
According to your plan, there's no restoration on any of the other streams.
Yeah, correct. Like, why would there not be stream restoration all the way to the point of investigation?
That's where the county...
This was the county requirement to go and come up with the stabilization program and walking with the Army Corps of Engineers.
If you look at any of that stream, the whole length of that property, there's major erosion everywhere.
Yeah, like what happens then when it gets off, you know, 100 yards further, 100 feet further, the same amount of water?
All we can tell you is that we did walk it with the specialists from the county and MDE, and this is what they wanted us to do. I mean,
and I can send you your summary of the stabilization, and let's go out and meet and talk about, look at the culvert.
Yeah.
But the area that the work is being done in stream was specifically asked for by the county.
Understood.
We're doing that at the direction of what the county wanted.
And maybe the request would be to have the county investigate further downstream, that if you've got known erosion issues further downstream, why do they only have to do stream mitigation measures on site and not any off-site stream mitigation? And if they don't, I mean, it's the same. If they're concerned about that area, they should be concerned about further, and I don't know who takes responsibility for that, but it shouldn't be the current property owner.
Yeah, I mean, that's where part of the question lies, is that responsibility. But we've done like what we need to do per the county requirements.
So right now you have preliminary site plan approval, right? You're seeking final site plan approval, and then you'll need to acquire a grading permit.
That's correct.
So we've voiced a concern. How do we bring the county into this conversation to voice that concern to the county so they can look the homeowner of that property in the eye and tell them we don't believe that there's going to be any further erosion as part of this process?
I mean, you know, the best person to talk to is Eric Mickelson. He's their stream person with DPW.
Well, what was that name again?
Eric Mickelson.
Mickelson?
Yeah. Yes, he's...
And he was
already,
the one that walked in initially
on
the 20th.
He was already on the
You have wall. His name probably in that letter.
And is familiar with it. But, I mean, he's generally the person who would give, you know, the guidance and direction when it comes to the stream stabilizations and stream walkings and that kind of stuff, so.
Okay, and I just, again, you walked that off-site piece to the point of investigation with him on the 20th?
Yes. And based upon that walk, the work that we're doing was
directed
directly by the county.
Vision that there
done.
Wasn't any erosion issues there as part of that walk.
No, that's why we're doing the stream stabilization.
As part of the walk?
Yeah.
Off-site? So maybe I'll give you, are you doing any stream stabilization off-property?
No.
But you walked that area
thing.
From the outfall to the point of investigation, which is about 350 feet. You walked that with Eric on the 20th and did not, the determination was there's not an erosion issue and we don't need to do any stream stabilization.
So when you say that,
we
are required to do stabilization, it just happened to end up being on our property.
Does that help downstream?
That came out of that meeting.
Does that help downstream?
No. I would think it probably helps to some degree because you're not sending rope, you know, dirt that would have eroded in that area downstream. I mean,
it's a silt issue though, not an erosion, right? I guess maybe we're, Paul, maybe y'all are not picking this up either, but I'm trying to determine from the point of outfall to the point of investigation, that's off property.
Mm-hmm.
Right, you can go to your plans page. Stormwater Management 04 plan that shows that where that stream weaves through.
Mm-hmm.
That you're saying you've walked that with the county personally on the 20th and it was determined that there's no stream mitigation required.
Correct.
Okay.
Well, no, because...
Right in that area by the county.
There's no stream mitigation required off-site. There is stream mitigation required on-site.
The area we're talking about, I think you understand where I'm at. The area we're talking about is off-site.
But you keep saying from the outfall is here. That's what's confusing me.
Well, on your plans, the outfall is, I think, is indicated at a different location.
Well, it shouldn't be.
Or your off-site, okay.
You're talking about the point of investigation, then.
No, well,
because there's no outfall
off-site. Let me show you the plans here. These are your plans. You are talking about this location. When you reference outfall, you were talking about that location. When I talk about outfall, I'm talking about this location, which is labeled site outfall,
right?
So I'm referencing that location. You're referencing this. You are saying that you're required to do stream restoration here. Totally, right, get it. So when I'm communicating to him, I'm saying from your site outfall, per your plan, so I'm calling that point to here.
So from the site outfall, not the stormwater management pond.
Right, I mean, let's end this. This is an 85-year-old woman's house, right? Her husband died there 2 years ago, and they couldn't get to him. And she's still trying to live. She doesn't leave the property. And her whole fucking backyard is just falling into that river. And we gotta come fix her driveway every 3 months. It just floods away. And it was built by hand by a neighbor 30 years ago who went to Home Depot and got a galvanized pipe and put it on it and put stone over top of it. And I don't think it's been investigated. This is what happens. All this water is coming down through here to try to go under an 18-inch pipe that gets completely dammed up and blocked by all the sticks that are coming down in through there.
Well, I think that is a conversation that we
kind of directly as far as that would be. I guess it'd be, I don't know if it's something that you necessarily be required to do more so than has been stated before, be a good neighbor more so than anything.
Well, you're going to be having some liability, right? Or the county's going to have liability then, right? If you've walked all this, you'll see that the banks of this stream have been cleaned.
Yeah.
Have you guys talked to DPW though? Because DPW has a whole rain tax. That's the whole point of it. Is they're supposed to do these kind of projects to fix it?
That's why I said, you tell me who's supposed to be financially responsible for it.
It's Eric. He's in charge of the
gray area of it's already eroding today. Yeah. Like,
we're not adding to it.
We're not.
No, you're adding to it. I mean,
it's kind
of. You may not have to like build her yard back, but you're going to add to it, right? And this, you can't deny that it's not going to make the situation worse. And that if that were to blow out, it's going to happen. It'll happen tomorrow.
We are not, in terms of flooding and that blowing out, we are not sending any more water over to that culvert.
We can.
Okay, but it blows out now. So paint the picture of it blows out now. You're going to build that uphill from it by 100 feet.
We can schedule a meet since it's been, since we did the walk. I mean, that's the first time. So we'll get together. If we can do it next week, we'll line a schedule. I can't meet you there tomorrow, unfortunately.
That's fine. I just said tomorrow because it's going to be.
Yeah, no, I hear it.
We can wait.
We can wait for another big, but I agree. I
mean, I don't doubt that. Like, you've delineated the branches going to it as being, you know, a floodplain. So I'm sure, I'm not doubting that it doesn't flood. You know, just based on the upstream area that goes through those two branches.
Because I think it originally was open channel, right? They had a rickety 1950s wood bridge to get to their property, right? Yet it didn't work.
It was like 50s, 60s.
What's that?
50s, 60s.
Right? But it's the only access to that road.
So, we are required to record. It's picking up everybody in this room.
Yeah.
We could keep it to one person talking at a time.
Okay.
Yeah.
I came up because we had different definitions of outfall because I was going by your plans.
You're talking about the site outfall. I understand.
Yeah.
I'll grab your contact info.
Okay. All right.
Everyone, if we could talk one at a time because this machine does pick up every single thing in the room, so it'll be a little muffled when it goes up online. So it's fine. If you just want to do it one at a time, that would be great.
You said that you were going to bring the water down from Old Elkridge Landing. Is that only going to come to the site driveway?
No, the county is requiring us to put it across the frontage.
So it's coming up Furnace Road?
Correct, from the south. I mean, we're still working with the county on all this extension. I know people were concerned that they'd have to hook into it, but we had gotten confirmation from Chris Murphy at DPW that is not the case.
Will there be a fire hydrant there?
Yes, there's a fire hydrant. The end.
Basically, this building's going to be set up for whoever the tenant is, a possibility having 53-foot trailers being towed in there up a residential street. And you don't think that's going to be an issue without having to somehow widen the road or make your access through BG&E's right away.
We can't make our access through BG&E's right away. It crosses other properties.
No, that's BG&E's right away there.
I know, but our property is way back here.
Yes.
We can't come up VGE to come into our site to cross his other properties between Furnace and our site.
Well, yeah, that's BG&E's right-of-way's property. That's
right.
The other property.
They have an easement for the most part. It's not necessarily their property. Like, they don't own the property.
Yes, they do.
No, they don't. We confirmed it with BG&E.
Per tax sites, BG&E owns a swath.
They don't own
from
the property.
From Howard County to Baltimore City.
In the county mapper, yes, it does show it as BG&E, but if you look at the land records, it's actually an easement in a right-of-way where the land owner owns that piece. So Paul Reganese et al. Family for this. They actually own the land on the site here, and there's a right-of-way easement that's granted to BG&E. I was confused with that when I was first looking
it's
at it.
Really confused because the landowners up there
have
never laid claim to that property, even though it's their property.
I agree with you. I spent a lot of time trying to confirm who the actual owner is.
Doesn't impact anybody in this room. It really impacts your lease ability, which is good. The auto parking will be under the Iron Maiden power lines.
The parking, yes, for the facility.
Yeah,
yes.
It's very similar to the property next door.
St. John's. Yeah.
What? I'm just curious from a development perspective. But from your concerns as residents. What off-site improvements are required from the right turn in, left turn out, down to, I don't know the names of the street, but basically down to the Westin, right? Because once you get past the Westin, it turns into
basically down
22-foot
front,
lane
up,
roads.
20-foot.
20-foot?
Yeah. Scrape your foot on the shoulder there. It's
and actually,
yeah, what is going to happen at the end
right.
of that road?
So you,
I mean, that's a sharp turn there.
Are we talking about the end of where Furnace hits Elkridge Landing?
Yes.
Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Well, we play where Furnace hits Elkridge Landing plus the turn on Furnace.
Yeah. So for reference,
here?
Right, that area,
uh-huh.
You had said on site, so what you are concerned about, you're going to have a 30-foot road width. What is the road width from the time you get off the property back down to
Elkridge
Landing Road? Is that also going to be widened to 30 feet?
No.
It can't.
We
it's
can't.
Scenic.
Nope.
We're not.
It's,
yeah,
historic.
It's a scenic and historic roadway,
yeah.
So we can't widen it.
So your own determination, you would have a 30-foot road, but you're gonna have a 20-foot
road. I think it's 22.
It'll be 22-foot.
At
all,
but you have a 53-foot trailer going both ways.
Yeah,
that math doesn't
this
work.
Is, no, but the 22 is the width. The trailers aren't. They're like 8-9 feet wide.
Okay.
Going around a sharp 90-degree bend.
Right. There's been a truck turn radius study done there that says 22 is that part of your TIP, I would assume. If you do
TIP is what?
Traffic impact.
TIS.
Oh, TIS.
Yeah.
Yeah, they've done. That's not us, but they've done a huge traffic impact study. It's been approved by the county. And there are some off-site road improvements, but they're mostly...
Awesome.
Yeah.
But they determined that a 22-foot road is sufficient access to this warehouse on that turn uphill, turning left.
Yeah, because it's the scenic.
No, from a functionality perspective.
I mean...
Yeah, I can share a copy with it of the traffic study.
They have,
yeah.
But... We couldn't widen it even if we wanted to because it's scenic.
Okay.
And historic.
What about traffic commerce?
Honestly, we've talked to DPW about that in the past, and that's really up to their traffic division. They don't like them for some reason. I don't know why, because Baltimore County and other counties do them all over the place. But we can touch base with them. But they just, I don't know, I think it's a maintenance issue with them, you know, the humps and everything else. So we tried to get them on another road and they wouldn't do them, but it doesn't hurt to ask, that's for sure.
Truck drivers will hate them.
What's that?
Truck drivers will hate them. All that inventory coming.
Yeah.
Maybe I should have making that turn to go up Elkridge Landing.
I hate making that turn in my Tahoe.
Or going down Elkridge Landing.
You can't make that turn in an SUV.
Are you talking about here?
Nope.
Right. Right where your finger was, good. Right.
You can't see anything.
I'm sorry, I don't know where I was going to.
Is this a? Are you talking the intersection of Furnace and Concrete?
No, off the intersection.
Right there.
Turn right there.
Oh,
you're nervous taking that.
I've been almost run off the road just by a truck hauling a trailer, just a car trailer, not a 53-foot semi truck. There's no way possible a semi is going to drive down that road and stay on his side of the road.
I don't know, they could do it in 22 feet.
Yeah.
Well, I know they can't do it on River Road.
In the front of my house, it's a.
And then whenever to turn into your property, he's literally going to have to be on the other side of the road in order to swing his trailer in there.
This one, are you talking here?
Yes.
No, we've made that we did turning radii, and this is wide enough for the trucks to turn in.
But
the end of the road.
So does the TIS do a turning radius also on those other two turns?
You're talking about here and here?
Yes.
Yes.
We didn't do the traffic actually, so I'm not sure, did they?
I'd have to look back and refresh. And again, I'm happy to provide a copy of that to you.
Yep.
We did the entrance, but we didn't go beyond that because that's not, we're site.
Yeah, understood.
There's
okay.
A different engineer that does the traffic.
But your indication would tell you that it needs to be a 30-foot road.
I'm not saying that. I mean, I don't know. I mean, trucks drive on 24-foot roads all over the county. We just provide 30 on site just for ease, you know, for the trucks. But they drive on 24-foot roads everywhere in Anne Arundel County.
It's 20 feet. It's not 24. It's 20.
No, I'm just saying it wouldn't necessarily have to be 30. It could probably be 24.
Well, you're going to have trucks coming in and going out at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that would certainly cut your turning radius would do something to that, I would think.
It's going to be a mess. That we're at that stop sign at Elkridge Landing and Furnace Road. That is going to be a mess because you really can't see cars coming down to begin with, and cars coming up, and there's no room for the tractor trailer. It's going to be a traffic jam there.
And when you get to the end of Furnace Road where it intersects Elkridge, if you don't get stopped, they go right over the bank. So.
Well, that will slow them down anyhow.
Oh, coming downhill?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Coming
you don't
down
get
off
that
the road, front of the road.
Into, it used to be Arnold's place.
Yeah.
But there's a house there. They might even be able to stop into the house.
Yeah, that's going to be met at the stop sign.
But it's just, you're saying that's already gotten preliminary plan approval.
It's gotten final approval, the traffic impact study.
So
all off sites are already
determined.
Determined.
I don't see how that's going to work.
So the kids who wait for the school bus on the road just have to. The kids who wait for the school bus on the road just have to stand out there with flashing lights.
They can't make them out.
The access road is designed to send everything towards Elkridge Landing, correct?
That's correct.
In theory.
Down past my house.
In theory.
How are you going to keep the cars from turning to making a right?
Going right?
Yeah.
Through with curbing and signage and tight radii.
But there's nothing like I mean, I understand it, that you're making it so you're supposed to turn left, but if they turn right, there's nothing to be done about it. We have no recourse, right? If they come down our street and they want to get home, they peel out, come on down. We'll have no recourse on that. And there'll be no recourse for us when the tractor trailers can't make those turns and start getting jammed up. It's going to be a mess there. I know it. At the stop sign, it's going to be a mess.
I mean, it's a question for Public Works. You asked about traffic calming. They also can assign roads no trucks to and put signage up.
Yeah, but they can't put up signs no cars. And I think that's what he's talking about, the people who work there all making right turns.
Like most of them will obey and do what most of them will, but there'll be those who won't and they'll be a nuisance.
The 10 percenters.
Yeah, well, you can,
we can
see
make
what
a toll road in
right
direction.
What she, there's a slight radius to guide people to turn left.
Right, right. You know.
Well, what about?
But if they're going out to anywhere, you know.
Right.
Well,
once they learn, they can make the shortcut, and they'll do it.
Right. They'll
just
work their
around.
Way out to 97.
Yeah.
That one. Yeah.
Like my dad said, locks are just for honest people.
What about the people who live down the road to come up off of Elkridge Landing? Will they still be able to go past the access road to their house?
Oh, yeah. No,
okay.
We're not impacting that at all.
Okay.
What's the target schedule for this project?
Like for construction?
Yeah, I guess maybe I'm sorry. Yeah, to get final.
Yeah.
Final approval and grading plan approval and to commence construction.
Yeah, so we still need, that's going to determine on site development plan and then grading permit will be an application, but we're anticipating, based on the current schedule, site development plan approval at some point in the first quarter, and then you can triangulate. We'll be, you know, submitting, if that's successful, the grading permit application, which will take, you know,
three months or so.
So without knowing, you know, having firm commitments from the county on response and when things will get approved, it's, you know, effectively, I think, probably best case scenario, 6 months for a grading permit to be issued.
Anything else to run through MDE, or is it all of the county?
There's a permit application in for the crossing and for the stream.
They're looking at the stream. They're reviewing everything, the stream stabilization.
Safety, see what they do, see if they'll do anything.
It's unlikely they'll do any type of traffic calming, but you might want to ask about the turning radius that should be a part of their traffic impact study to confirm that trucks can make that turn on Furnace, because said, do you like taking it in your truck? it's a pain in the personal vehicle. But there should be studies. Like, so what they can do is they do a study that shows what a truck turn and how it can make the turn without impacting and crossing over into the other lane. My experience would tell me that would be a very favorable review to show that they can do that in 11 feet.
Well, you know,
it's
winter time up there too.
It's all downhill.
Well, but I said all you gotta do is be on River Road when one of those semis come through there.
I'd be surprised that they can make that turn in 11 feet. Who's your traffic?
Traffic concepts.
Okay.
Any more questions we can field?
Do you plan on having another one of these little get-togethers?
This is the last one.
This is the last one.
Hearing dates?
There are no hearings with this project. This is allowed by rate, so there is no hearing.
Once they zoned it W1, that was it.
What's that?
Once they zoned it W1. we don't have any say in it.
Where is the entrance road on that map?
This one?
Yes, right there. Mm-hmm. Now, from the sitting here, from the right to the left, what's the distance? Yes.
Right,
what's that? What's the distance in there?
From what, the edge of this road?
From there.
To where?
To the other, to the
to
corner.
To here?
There.
What's the building depth? About 180 feet?
220 feet?
Yeah.
It's pretty much good from
the
210
foot depth, I believe. Yeah. Frontage here.
Yeah. The
frontage is... Not one of the feet you saw on that
map. 304 feet is from here to here.
It's the corner point of the...
About 250 feet from the edge of the driveway to the edge of the property.
About 250.
Yeah. It's like 300 feet, roughly.
300.
Across the whole frontage?
No, from there. From where it pops out. Which on here
but they're
is
no,
right there.
No, they're not. They won't. They won't improve. They're only doing it right away. They're not making any road improvements.
Off the furnace.
From this point on, we're just giving right away. We can't make any widening improvements.
Right. Well, you won't have any traffic going that way anyhow.
Right.
At the same time.
I think that's wishful thinking.
Right, they're all going to figure out how to get to River Road and then pop out at G&M.
Well, and it's just as, I mean, there'd be a lot of strangers coming in there. And for the first week or two, they won't realize that that road is a shortcut. So they might do what they're supposed to do. After that, I think you'll be in trouble, or I'll be in trouble.
And I'll also tell you, it's really fun to drive on.
Huh?
And I'll also tell you it's really fun to drive one too.
Is that River Road?
Yeah, River Road.
Yep.
Yeah.
As long as sunlight's not coming.
Hold on.
I take it you've ridden with her.
I know on.
Is there any studies done to like for people's wells with all this digging going on? Will any wells be disturbed by any chance? Or
the wells are way below what any excavation we would do for stormwater.
What's that?
Doesn't go down.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, it absolutely goes down.
So it's down. 50 feet per foot, it'll disturb some people's wells.
Well, but where they're going to put the building is kind of up on the hill.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I don't know.
Aesthetically, though, just
I
thought
about that.
A lot of the less my concern, but more for the area between the stormwater basin and the back of the residential properties. Is that in forest conservation?
Mm-hmm.
So it would be.
All this like gray that you see is forest conservation. The only reason this is white is because it's a floodplain.
Right.
And we can't do anything in that either. The county, they'll probably give the county an easement so they have the right to maintain it.
Yeah, so that'll be for your land, outside of the limits of disturbance for you all. I don't know what the height of the trees are there, but that's what, you know, that will have to.
Did you say the county's going to maintain that stream back there?
Typically what happens is we either give the county the right of way, it's their requirements. We either give it to them completely or give them an easement. These type of projects have been giving them an easement so they have rights to
What about like the one that hits my property right there on the corner?
Which one are you under?
Nope, no. All the way down, right at the
tip.
Yep.
Yeah, that floodplain, but they only have an easement for their property. They won't have any rights.
They won't touch mine.
No.
Yeah.
No. Not unless you give them an easement too.
Thank you.
Did everybody sign in before you leave that we have their your information?
So then this information is disseminated back to the folks at the county.
Right, and it will be on the website. So in the letter, there was a link. You just go to that link, and it'll be on.
But then how does the county get the yearly concerns that were raised tonight?
I mean, it's all with the county, so you would assume they...
No,
I don't know. All I know is what we're doing.
How are our concerns going to be relayed unless we take the
They
next
get our
step.
Minutes.
They get the minutes and the recording.
We do minutes of the entire meeting that we mail out, and they we personally give them to planning and zoning.
Got it. Okay. So you could also disseminate the minutes to those who are...
That's why I'm asking. Everybody sign in.
Everybody will get the minutes.
You will get the minutes.
Mm-hmm. We're 11:51.
And so you can listen to it again on...
I don't want to listen to this again, but
yeah, so
just read them. It's more just make sure. I'm surprised the county may not be in attendance tonight, right? But the county does.
They don't go to any of these meetings. There's so many of them. I mean, we personally have two tonight. So there's two that can happen every Monday through Thursday. They just don't have the personnel to attend them.
Yeah,
you're like one review or something.
If you don't mind, I'm going to adjourn the meeting so we can turn the mic off, because it's just going to get a lot of feedback. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.